like him. Come on, go find some people who say there's nobody like him. Come on, go find somebody. There's nobody like him. Come on, keep that beat going just a little bit. Just nice, yeah. Keep it going. Sometimes you got to get yourself stirred up in the Lord, amen? Sometimes you got to get your praise going. You got to get your praise going. And I know that I know that I know that my God is able, amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Everybody with me, come on, lift up your hands. Stand up on your feet. Thank you. Stand up on your feet. Declare this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I stand by faith. I wait upon you. And I fully expect to be renewed like an eagle. I'm renewed in my mind. I'm strengthened in my spirit. And I'm full of the joy of the Lord. I laugh at the devil's attempts to defeat me. Ha ha, devil! Come on, one more time. Ha ha, devil! I'm victorious. I'm mighty. And I'm living in perfect peace. Well, I feel so good. I could shout. I might as well go ahead and shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Amen. You got to laugh at the devil. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a great day in the Lord. Wow. Hallelujah. Nobody like you, man, nobody like you. You know, the way I look at it, you've got two choices. You can come into church and just be solemn and kind of benign and just hang in there and hear a good message and sing a couple songs. Or you can engage the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost engage you. You know, it's kind of like the first boy-girl party you went to in eighth grade. It's a dance, you know, and all the guys are on one side, all the girls on the other. And you're standing there going, man, I wish I could dance with her. Ooh, she looks so pretty. But you don't have enough in you to go over and ask her. So you stay there the whole party. There's a few down there. They're boogieing, they're dancing, they're having a great time. You're standing there going, man, I wish I could ask her. She's standing over there going, I wish he'd come over here and talk to me. I like him so much. Why won't he talk to me? Go over there and tell him I like him. You ever have that kind of thing going on? And the whole party's over, and on the way out the door, you bump into her and you go, hi, hi, what's your name? And you hit it off and you go, oh, my mom's here. It's time to go now. Shoot. We're just now getting it on. I mean, she's talking to me and I'm going, oh, it's over. See, that's what church is like. You got a moment, baby. You came in here. Don't wait for the party to be over. Come on, ask Jesus to dance. Amen? Come on, get your partner going and say, Jesus, I need you, Lord. Woo! Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. You know, I think of Christmas as an awesome time to just celebrate Jesus and the power of God in our lives and just get the joy of the Lord so full in your life that it changes your thinking and changes your conversations. And I tell you, that's where it's got to be. That's where you got to live. Don't let circumstances control and rule you and make you feel like you're not really who you are. You know, sometimes people get into such a mode, they live life and it's not really even them. The real person has been caked over and just wrapped up in stuff. And we're living with somebody that's really not you. But boy, when you start peeling those things off, And before you know it, the real you starts to emerge. People go, boy, I kind of like him. Or I like, boy, she's pretty nice. Wow, I like that person. Because so many of us have been wrapped up in stuff that the enemy has tried to put on us. But we've got to break free of that. You've got to break through that. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? We do that through our expectancy and our faith and our determination to not go certain places. In my mind, you know, it's not my physical body. In my mind likes to take me to places of defeat. You know, I had a situation this morning. I talked to Tina about it. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing about it. But I said, I don't know, you know, the jacket thing and all that. I said, you know what? This is in my mind. I said, I'm not going there. I'm not even going. I'm not wearing it. You know, I'm not going to do that. And if you're not careful, your past, your insecurities, your failures, people's opinions, the expectation of what you think is normal, all of that will begin to shape how you act and respond to the day. And you and I have got to just break free of that. Tina had a great revelation yesterday. She taught at the Bible study. Y'all, ladies, you need to get over at the Bible study. Every first and third, is it? Second and fourth? Second and fourth. Man, she taught this revelation. It was like at the end of the day when Jesus was creating the heavens and earth, he said, it is good. She said, who was he talking to? He was talking to himself. Did you ever go through the day when you felt like you just didn't get enough done or you could have done better or you start feeling guilty about things that people wanted you? She said, you know what? I got a revelation. I'm going to finish my day by saying, that was a good day. I did good today. You know, that's what we're talking about, is getting a hold of truth and letting truth change your whole perspective of life. It's a good day. You're doing well. Amen? It is well with my soul. How many are born again this morning? Let me see your hand. All right. How many this morning say, you know what? I'm not sure I know what that means. I'm not sure that I'm born again. I couldn't raise my hand. You raise your hand now. Okay. So everybody in here is saved. And if you were to die today, you're going to heaven. Is that true? Is that right? All right. We'll find that out in a few minutes. Luke 2, verse 25. Let's go there. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Hallelujah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It's 10:45. If you're taking medicine, you can check that out and know that you've got to do that. If you've got to take another pill, go ahead. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man. I told Tina the other day, I said, you know, our services last usually 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. And I said, that's for some folks. Some folks can only last an hour. Some last, you know, a little less, some a little more. But anyway, verse 25, I won't keep you long. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Let me just stop there because I just can't stand it. I have to say something about it. Let your servant depart in peace. That's the way we go out of this earth. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I came in this world broken and things missing. But going out, I go out nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen? Because I've seen the Christ. Hallelujah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, that child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon, who is he? Why is he in the Bible? Anna, who is she? Why was she in the Bible? Well, we know this. Simeon hung out in the house of God. Simeon was a man of age. We don't know exactly how long he was there, But we know from his age that we could have assumed that he had been there for many years, just like Anna, many years serving in the capacity of the presence of God. And there's something powerful about this story. When you think about it, Mary and Joseph came to the temple to have a procedure done with Jesus that was normal. It happened to every male Hebrew born, circumcised on the eighth day. It was just a normal thing. The Bible said they walked into the temple, and when they walked in, out that in that courtyard area, there are hundreds of people. There might have even been thousands of people in that outer court, walking through, coming in to prepare a sacrifice, talking. Maybe they were making a business deal, doing lunch on the side. I don't know what they were doing. But the Bible says that when Mary and Joseph came in that place with Jesus, they walked up to one man, and his name was Simeon. I don't believe that was by chance. And I want to say this morning, that when you and I live like Simeon, God will seek you out. Man, I want to be sought after by the Lord Himself. I believe that when you are a seeker of God, God becomes a seeker of you. Notice something about Simeon. The Bible says that he was just and he was devout. Two characteristics that help define a person on the earth that I believe when Jesus comes again is going to be looking for. He's going to be seeking you out. A person that is just is one that has justice and does right with his fellow man. A person who is devout is one who is devout in his devotion or his relationship to God. And we know that Jesus said this, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and your strength. And the second, like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. Simeon was a man who loved his neighbor. He was a man who loved his God. He was a man that was sought out after by the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2 tells us that this is the type of person who will be sought out today by Jesus. You see, sometimes we have this in our mind that when we get up in the morning, we got to seek the Lord. And that's true, we ought to. But I want you to know something, that when you develop these characteristics, God gets up in the morning, if you will, and starts looking for you. He starts seeking you out. You say, well, I'm just one in a number. I'm just one in a number of hundreds here this morning. I'm just one in a number of millions on this planet. No, you have to understand something. God seeks out those who are just and devout. And He's going to find you. Look at your neighbor and say, He's going to find you. I want God to find me. I want God to find me. Run me down. He said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. See, here's the question though. How are your dealings with others? Do you live justly? How are your dealings with others? I can't afford not to have a right relationship with you. I can't afford to harbor unforgiveness. You see, it's not just about you. It's about me being sought out after by the Holy Spirit. I want to have a right relationship with you because I don't want to jeopardize my God from finding me today. Because there's a time in my life where I know I'm going to need Him. Matter of fact, I feel like I need Him right now. I feel like I'm going to need Him later on this afternoon. I feel like I'm going to need Him tonight when I get to preaching in the front line. I feel like I'm going to need Him when I don't know where the money's coming from. Come on, somebody. I think I'm going to need God. And if you feel like you're going to need God, then you can't afford not to be right with your fellow man. I cannot afford not to be in relationship with God through my devotional life, through my praying in the Holy Ghost, through my Bible reading, through being able to seek His holy face, because I want God to be able to seek me out. There's something that Simeon teaches us about consistency. The Bible says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Isaiah 51 and verse 3 says, "And the Lord shall comfort Zion." It doesn't say the Lord might comfort Zion. The Lord, if He has a good day, will comfort Zion. The Bible said the Lord shall. He shall comfort Zion. And He was waiting for the consolation. In other words, He was serving the will of God. He was in the presence of God, waiting on the comfort of God. And the Bible tells us that when He was in that place, Something happened. Something happened. I believe that he was renewed like an eagle. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord, right, shall be what? Renewed. They shall be restored. They that wait upon the Lord, huh, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle. Come on now. I want you to know something. I got up this morning, honey, and I'm not a bag of bones. I'm not a mixture of trouble. I'm not a defined by confusion or misunderstanding. God has renewed me over the night. I might have went to bed last night with trouble on my mind, but when I got up this morning, I've been renewed by the glory of God. Why? Because His mercy is new every morning, and His faithfulness, what? All night long. That tells me that joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. I may have went to bed with a little tear, a little sorrow, but those that wait on the Lord shall be renewed. Come on. See, we have to understand something about serving God. If you're just and devout, it doesn't matter how you get beat up, how many feathers you lose today, how your beak gets all tore up, how you're over there shaking in the wet wind and cold and storm that's blowing, because night's about to come. And though night comes, though sorrow may last, joy comes in the morning. I'm going to be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord. And I feel the joy of the Lord. And I feel the strength of my God. Simeon was a man that you could not keep down. When I think about Isaiah 51 and 3, the Lord shall comfort Zion. I know I may have trouble. I told Tina this morning, I said about 4 o'clock, my mind started working and I had to work some numbers in my mind. Okay, we're going to be able to pay this and do that. And I know we said this much we need to have come in and then we do that. And I'm doing subtraction and adding in my kind of half sleep. And I couldn't get rest. You ever get tormented like that? Your mind's working and trying to figure stuff out. I couldn't get rest. I couldn't fall back to sleep until I added everything up. And then I thought I had it added up. And then I went, oh man, that's not 1600. That's 2600. Okay, let me go back over it again. I had to go through the whole thing again. And when I finally got it, I was able to go back to sleep. Let me know that sometimes nighttime is a tormenting time. Why is it things compound at night? How come things, you don't feel well in your physical body, you can kind of go all day, and then at night it's like, man, I need to be repleted. I need to have some power put back in me. See, I love that built-in power source. I like that because I'm just. I can stand here today and say I've got no ought against any man. I can stand here today and say I love everybody, even the stinkers, man. I love them. Amen? I love them all. And I know I'm devout before the Lord. I praying in the Holy Ghost and singing and worshiping. I've been fasting and calling on the name of the Lord. And so therefore I qualify for being renewed because I've waited on the Lord. But notice this. That scripture tells us not only was he waiting for the consolation of Israel, but he was also endued with power. There's something about it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It tells us that those that wait will be endued. Those that wait upon the Lord will be endued with power. See, not only will I have my feathers grow back, not only will I have my beak back in the shape that it was as an eagle who's in molting and I can be restored, but something happens when I come back. I'm not the same as when I left. When I come back, when I get up in the morning, I'm not the same dude that got up the morning before. There's a little extra that's been added to me because I've been endued with power. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes on those that wait, you can't be the same. You can't sing the same, can't preach the same, can't love the same, can't do anything the same. Why? Because the power of God's come on you. And when the power of God's come on you, it'll change you. He was endued with power. God, we need to be endued with power. And Simeon was looking for something. He was hungry for something. Because he was hungry, he The Bible tells us he was taught of the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was revealed to him that the Holy Ghost would not allow him to taste death until he saw the consolation of Israel. You won't taste death. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let circumstances overwhelm you. Don't think that you're coming to an end. There's no end in God. Hallelujah. He said, no, you're not. I'm going to teach you something by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you what your true end is. Not what you're thinking, what you're believing, what the devil's trying to tell you. You got to learn how to laugh at the devil. And he said he was led by the Holy Ghost to come into the temple. I'm telling you, God's wooing his people. God's wooing some Christians, man, to come in the presence of God. Not a building made with man's hands and brick and stone and mortar. No. Talking about the presence of the Lord. You can build a temple anywhere you want to build a temple. I could build a temple at Starbucks in line. Shoma kandarabasha. Oh, God, give me that latte. Hala moshandarata. No matter where I'm at, I'll build a temple. Worshiping Jesus. He said, I'm being led by the Holy Ghost to come into the presence of God. What happens in the temple? All provision was in the temple. Sacrifice was in the temple. God's glory was in the temple. The manifest presence of God was in the temple. The Holy Ghost is drawing us in to the place of all the glory of the Lord. You see, it was his testimony that birthed such a powerful word, and it came out of his character. God's looking for character on the earth. And what is that characteristic? Devout and just. And no pretense with me. You'll know what I'm thinking. And I'll tell you what I feel. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you so that I prefer you and not me. You know, some people are proud of the fact, I'm going to tell you the way it is. You don't like it, that's just the way it's going to be. No, wait a minute. That's not Christian. That's Buddhism. Or Moonism. Or Jehovah's Witness or something. It's not God. You don't tell somebody something the way you feel to make yourself feel better and them feel worse. Well, I just got to tell you, I don't like you. And God said to be honest. No, you're stupid and you don't even know God. You want to be right with people. Say, well, Lord, you know I'm struggling with this person. I really don't like them. Teach me, Lord Jesus, to love them. Do I have to like everybody? So just have to love everybody? I can love them, but I don't like them. So you don't have to like them. You have to hang out with them, but you got to love them. Yeah. See, you have that edge about you as a believer. You have that change. You have that certain something about you that because you've been in the temple, because you live there. Simeon lived there. Anna lived there. Do you live there? Or do you visit once a week? Come on. Do you live there? Say, God, I want to hang out there. I want to live there. I want to be in your presence all the time. I want to stay where you are. See, many times the Bible tells us about Simeon that he stood in the temple worshiping with outstretched arms in prayer, patiently waiting, but yet empty. There are times in our life when we come into the presence of God and we bow on a knee and we say, God, I need you, Lord Jesus. Father, you know we are in trouble. And your arms stay empty. But your arms stay outstretched. That's the key. They might be empty, but they're outstretched. There may be times that you have to stand in faith for your children. And you say, Lord, can you touch my baby? Can you touch my son? Can you bring her home, Lord? Can you move upon her, God? And you don't see anything change, but your arms are outstretched, but they're still empty. That was the life of Simeon. Simeon didn't walk by faith. That's why God sought him out. He sought him out because he saw him with his arms stretched out in faith. And one day, everybody say, one day. One day, come on, say it one more time. One day, in through the door came Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus. He was only 8 days old. Just 8 days before, can you think about it with me? 8 days before, Simeon might have seen the star in the east. He might have heard about all the hustle and the bustle about some king born. But he wasn't about to leave the temple to go find out. He knew that if he stayed in the place of the presence of God, he wouldn't have to go looking for God at the crusade. He wouldn't have to go looking for God at the latest meeting. He wouldn't have to look for God at the latest prophetic conference. He wouldn't have to look for God in somebody else's preaching if he just stayed in the presence of God. Come on, look at somebody and say, stay in his presence. No, some of you didn't do it. Come on, do it again. Stay in his presence. He was in Jerusalem. Bethlehem was less than 2 miles away. All the hubbub about Jesus being born. The kings coming from the east. The shepherds all coming together. The angels singing glory, hallelujah, in the heavenlies. And Simeon didn't leave the temple. Simeon stayed in the temple with his arms outstretched and yet there. But he knew something about his God. He said, if I can just stay in his presence, he who keeps his mind stayed on him shall have perfect peace. He knew that one day something's going to have to change. So he stayed in the temple. Everybody say, stayed in the temple. Didn't move. He stayed right there. Didn't go one place to the other looking for some kind of help. Stayed in the presence of God. And what happened? Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days or four. Simeon's still there with his arms outstretched, being faithful, just and devout. Didn't matter what people said about him. Didn't matter what people said God wouldn't do. He didn't move. 6 days, 7 days came and went. But on the eighth day, he was standing doing what he always does. Nothing different about this day than any other day. The only thing that was different is in through the door came Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus. And they walked into the crowd. Thousands of people everywhere looking around. Where can we find a just and devout man? No, they didn't have to do that. Their heart was already drawn. They walked right up to Simeon and they said, hey Simeon, this is what you've been praying for. This is what you've been asking for. This is what you've been believing for. This is what you've been crying for. This is what you've been believing me to do for you. And he said, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Now I want you to know something about that word salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He didn't say my salvation. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, mine eyes have seen thy soteria. Mine eyes have seen thy deliverance. Mine eyes have seen thy provision. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy healing. Mine eyes have seen my restoration. In other words, he said, my arms have been outstretched bare, but I didn't move and I didn't flinch and I didn't back up. I've been just and I've been devout. And on this day, you sought me more than I was seeking you. See, God wants us to get to a place where we stay faithful in seeking him, because he said there's going to come a moment when I'm going to seek you more than you've ever sought me. And when I come, come on somebody, when I come, I'm bringing the full package with me. I'm bringing deliverance. I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing redemption. I'm bringing salvation. I'm bringing wholeness. Come on, put your hands together and thank God for Jesus. Woo! I like the prophet Isaiah. Huh? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 52 and verse 10, listen to this. The Lord himself is going to bear his arm. The Lord has made his holy arm and the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Can I tell you something? When I was young and feisty, When I rolled up my sleeves, that meant we were about to get it on, baby. You never fought somebody with your sleeves down. I mean, what kind of fight would it? See, that looks better, doesn't it? The Bible says in the Hebrew, the Lord bared his arm.
Come on.
The Lord bared his arm. See, you've been in a fight for your life. You've been in a fight for your marriage. You've been in a fight for your money. You've been in a fight for your future. God said the Lord bared his arm. He said, who's been bothering you? Who's been messing with you? Who's been fussing with you? You better watch out because the Lord is up in the house. God has bared his arm and he's about to take on every one of your enemies. How many know who's going to win that war? Woo! Jesus! Come on, shout Jesus! Because the Lord has bared his arm. You know, this morning, when you think about Christmas, I think about God filling up my barrenness, touching me in my pain, and restoring me in what's been missing. The Lord is going to seek me out. God's looking for an opportunity right now to be a blessing to me. He can't hardly wait to put something in my hand. Quit trying to get it out of his hand. Man, just hold him out. In faith, believing. Just hold him out. And wait for him to put him in your hands. Oh, Jesus. That's what we call a sweatless victory. I don't have to fight for this thing, man. I just stand in the temple of the Lord. I just worship Jesus and I'm just right with you. And it won't be long. It won't be long. Jesus is going to come through the door and going to lay up in my hands the fullness of his salvation. Takes all the pressure off of me. Verse 32, it says in Luke chapter 2, he will become a revelation to the nations. The Bible says that many shall rise and many shall fall because of Jesus. And I think of Paul, Saul, the one pursuing the church, who fell and then rose again. You might be in a descent. You might be just about to hit the pavement. But don't think God's going to leave you there. Because he didn't leave Saul there. He went down as Saul and came back up as Paul. Many were the rising and the fall of Israel. And you shall be a revelation to the nations. You know, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you became a witness to the world. You became the light to the world. Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine. For the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen. Don't sell yourself short. Don't allow the enemy to get you worried and scurrying around looking for something for God to do for you. Stand in your place of the presence of God. And let him fill you arms with Jesus. He'll do it for you today. Come on, stretch your arms out right now. Stretch your arms out right now. Stretch your arms out to him right now. And just tell him, say, Lord, I need you to fill me. I need you to meet my need. You know what it is. I'm waiting on you right now, Jesus. Stay in waiting. Come on, stay in waiting right there, right there, right there. Don't move from that spot. God's wanting to seek you out today. God's wanting to fill your heart and your arms with Jesus. God's hidden ones on the earth. I prophesy to every person in this room today, those listening to my voice, that ye are the hidden ones on this earth. Those that have passed you by, like they passed by Simeon day after day, ridiculing and mocking. Maybe even making statements of, why do you waste your time going to church? And why do you give so much money? God hasn't done anything for you. I declare to you that ye are the hidden ones like Simeon. that God is coming to seek out His devout and just ones. And just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, so are my people, my hidden ones on this earth, who are growing even now in this same stature. And even as the Holy Ghost fell upon my Christ, so shall my Christ fall upon you. And you will see my salvation. Right now, I just want you to worship Him with me. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore. Come on, just worship Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. I'll give all the glory. I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you all the glory. All the glory, Jesus. We give you all the praise, Jesus. You're worthy of glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the worthy. Come on. For He alone. Come on, lift up your voice. I want to ask you today, really, seriously, if you're not sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, then let us pray with you. Because before you leave today, you can know that you're going to go to heaven. Christians, would you pray with me right now? Just silently right there. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know, but I want to know, and I need that prayer. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up so I could see it all over this room? High enough so I can see it. Wave it at me. Thank you. You put it down. Anybody else? Oh, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Anybody else? Quickly, lift your hand up so I can see it. Anybody else there? Okay, God bless you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry I missed your hand. All right. Right up here as well. Thank you. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Would you do it right now? Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Take over my life. I renounce sin. I turn away from sin. I turn to you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me at Calvary. I receive you now as my Lord, and I give you myself as your servant. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise of heaven. And from this day forward, I promise to serve only you. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we want to give you a Bible, give you some information, and also invite you to be a part of some new convert training classes and discipleship classes. You can learn what you've done. We have those every Sunday morning at 9:30, and you need to be a part of those, okay? We want you to be a part of this church. So I don't know if I'm going to come back here. You got to come back to where you were born. Come back to your roots. We'd love to have you be a part of this family, okay? So those of you that prayed that prayer, our altar ministers are going to be down here, and we want them to come, if you will, ladies and guys. And when we dismiss, I'm going to have you come and talk to one of them. They're just going to pray a short prayer for you, okay? Please don't go out that door until you come this way. I would appreciate that so much. Now, could you be seated with me for just a moment? Patrick, are you here? And Jackie, where are you guys? Come on up here for a minute. Get a microphone. I got to tell you about something that I heard of that I think is the coolest thing. How many have been out clubbing in the last 10 years? Let me see your hand. All right, cool. How many have been out clubbing in the last 10 days? Come on up here, guys. Have you ever heard of Peabody's? Some of you have heard of Peabody's. What is Peabody's? Tell me what it is. I'll kind of interview you from here.
Hello. Testing. Hello.
What's Peabody's?
Peabody's is actually a secular club. It's a venue where they have bands that come in, and there's a bar there, and it's right now, I think it's...
There?
Yeah, they get wasted.
They drink and get high and stuff.
Yeah, people get high.
Is it like young people, middle-aged people? I mean...
It's a little bit of both. Mostly it's anywhere from, I would say, like 16 to 25. Is
16s go there to drink?
Yeah. Well, not to drink, but they go there to...
To listen to the
I'm
band.
I'm sure some of them sneak in.
How
there.
Many people are there on like one of those nights where there's a big band?
Well, it depends, you know, depending on which band. I mean, there can be anywhere from, you know, 100 to 1,000 people.
1,000?
Yeah.
Now, so. You know, this kind of a scene, I probably couldn't get them to come to church, would you think? If I went there and said, look, I'd like for you to come to a really good service tomorrow, and I'm going to be preaching about Simeon, how many of you think they would come? Really? You didn't think they'd come to hear me preach? Okay, so maybe we ought to go to them. You think Peabody's would let me go there and preach? Okay, wait a minute. Would they let me sing? Those that wait upon the Lord. Oh, you think they'll let me sing? No, they won't let me sing either. So we got a brilliant idea. Guess what? They've invited this couple to come and sing at Peabody. Now, Patrick and Jackie are going to go there, and they're going to be there December 15th. Now, here's the deal. A lot of other bands locally are going to go as well. Now, the national band, they're called Between Home and Serenity, whoever they are, and Driverside Impact, Victory Records, with special guests. Okay. Now, whoever sells at least 100 tickets of the local bands gets to sing right before the big band. Meaning, if there's going to be 1,000 people there, if you don't sell the 100 tickets, you sing at 6:30 when there's 12 people there. But if you sell 100, you sing right before the big band when there's 1,000 there. Now, how many know that Patrick and Jackie are going to sing some Jesus stuff? If you never heard them sing. Now, they don't sing like those that wait upon the Lord. They don't sing like that. What do you sing?
It's more like in your face, like, you know, just what you see is what you get, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And it's
have you ever
edgy.
Heard them sing before? Yeah, but you've only heard them sing in church. He tones it down in church.
Yeah, definitely.
He gets one of these screams going, and we work out to their music every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over at Paul and Sue's, and that one song is, wah! It's like, man, how do you do that? here I had this idea. Let's witness to 1,000 people at Peabody's by selling 100 tickets. Now, some of you are going to think like, Jesus, pastors asked me to buy a ticket to Peabody's. I ain't going to Peabody's. Well, I bought my ticket this morning because I'm not going to go either. I mean, if one of you want to go, I'll give you my ticket. But you want to go? Somebody raise their hand. Marilyn, you want to go? Did you raise your hand? You want to go? Okay, here, come get the ticket. Give me that ticket.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, say it.
The idea that we have is to have people sponsor tickets. So in a way, you get to impact two people. You get to impact the people, the crowd that we're going to be in front of by playing right before that band. And also what we're going to do is whoever sponsors a ticket, we're going to go back to Cleveland and find somebody that we know that is not saved, that already goes into these places, and we're going to hand them a ticket. So you have the ability to impact two people. And for you guys that know us, you know we don't sugarcoat nothing. We're not going to go in there and be all subliminal. Troy and Tristan are actually coming with us, and we will be filming. We're going
to
film, and you guys will see
we'll be able to
the
see
impact
the
that this has on the
kids. Do you have tickets with you?
Yeah, I've got I've got 35 with me, and then we have about 50 back at home. So we have 35. If you have someone in mind that you want to get one, if not, if you sponsor one, the remainder that we have at home, we will find somebody that is not saved that we will give the ticket to.
So all we need is 35 people that will say, like, Pastor, I'll give $10 to do that. So can you get $10 in one hand and lift it up? Ushers, would you come quickly? They don't have to get a ticket then because they're not
no,
going.
No.
Do you want a ticket? If you want a ticket, say, I want a ticket, and we'll give it to you because you maybe want to give it to somebody. But we need 35 people. This is a great missions outreach. So just, you know, this is incredible. I know it's not like sending a missionary to Africa to dig a well. This is different. This is kind of unique, you know what I'm saying? But this is cutting edge, where it's at, people's lives on the line. So we need like 35 people at least this morning that'll say, let me get a ticket. Huh? Yeah, check. Just put it to CNC. Yeah. Yeah, make it out. Make it. Is that all right? And then we'll get you the money.
Yeah.
Okay? Hurry up, ushers. Grab the $10. Pass the $10 down if you want to. Unless you want the tickets. I want the ticket. Where are the tickets?
I got them right over there.
Okay, you better get them out. How many want tickets? Wave at me if you want the ticket to give to somebody. 15th of December. You want the ticket. Okay. So there are people that want